Okay, Shalom Aleichem Rabosai. Today's daf is Erev and daf Chaf Dalid. Today's shir is in Schus or Refu Shalema for Rus Chaya Moria Bas Shoshana Miriam, as well as Chaim Ben Yamin Mordechai Ben Aida. We should have a speedy Refu Shalema and see Nisim and Niflos in their recoveries. Okay, we are on the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis here. We are deep in the sugyas of Karpeif. Karpeif, again, is something, an area that is base sasayim. If it is not hukaf the dira, if it is not usable or used for dwelling, for living, so then it is a problem in the Erev. And the reason this is so halacha l'maisa is because if you have a karpeif inside of your Erev, it will mess it up. If you have a karpeif that's over base sasayim, we said that's 5,000 amos by 5,000 amos, if I'm not mistaken. So that is that's going to mess up the Eruv if it's found inside. So when you're making an Eruv for a city, and you have as we'll see at the end of today's daf, a lake, or you have a big area that is not used by people to live in, so that really presents a problem. So that's so these sugis are halacha l'maisa. Obviously, don't just use the Gemara for straight halacha. Always delve into the halacha as much as you can. But either way, let's learn it and see if we can get some sort of footing and some sort of understanding in this whole concept. So we're at, let's see, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We're about 10 lines up, Karpeif, the first word on the line. And Gemara says like this, Karpeif should go from Rebbe Sasayim, Shen Hukaf Ladira. A Karpeif that is greater than Tusa, but it's Hukaf Ladira. It is used for dwelling, and we had said that it can be any size, pretty much. If it's used for dwelling, so a ginormous office building, for example, or whatever, a ginormous field that people pitch tents in and live in, so that's fine, even if it's over a base sasayim. So again, that's karpeif is mutter to carry inside of it. But what happens if nizra rubo, you planted seeds in most of it, so hari ukigina v'aser, then it turns into a garden that is not used by for dwelling. There's a little that's not for hukaf adira, and it is aser. Nata rubo, but if you plant it, nata is to plant trees, and nizra is to plant seeds. So nata, if you planted trees in rubo in most of the area, already bechatzer mutter. Then it's considered just like a chatzer, and it's mutter because again, people move in and out of the trees. That doesn't invalidate the hukaf adira status. Okay, Nizra Rubo, and now, so we're going to have three, if I'm not mistaken, three representations of Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua's statement in terms of this brisa. So if Nizra Rubo, again, you planted seeds all over most of it, so we said that it is aser, and that you cannot carry within that karpif. So Amar Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, Lo Amran Ela Yoser Mi Beisa Sain. We only said this halacha that it's aser if the planted area, as Rashi explains, is more than two sa within the karpeif. Meaning the majority, when you say you planted in rove of the karpeif, that rove area is more than base sa, because, and this is the halacha we said at the beginning, because now you have a karpeif, or a karpeif that is more than base sa, base asayim, to more than two sa, that is not hukaf adira, that's going to mess up your eruv. So if you have the majority of the base asayim is now nizra, is now planted with seeds, and it's more than a base of science. So now in essence, you have a karpeif inside of your karpeif that messes up the eruv, right? A karpeif is usually hukaf. It's hukaf. Hukaf literally means it has walls around it. So you have an area that has walls around it that has a karpeif inside of it that's going to mess it up. Abba base of science, but if it's up to base of science, if the area, the rove, the majority of the planted area is up to base of science, then it is mutter, because that again, that is not that's not going to be a karpeif. That's going to aser the bigger area that it's inside of. So the Gemara says, come on, who's that like? That's Rabbi Shimon. That's like Rabbi Shimon. It's not like without the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echa Gagos, Recha Chazeros, Recha Karpifos, whether you have a roof or you have a chatzar or you have a karpif, Rishus Achazim, the Kalim, Sheshavsu B'Sochan. You can carry between each one of them. But they are not distinct areas. And so too, that's over here. Now, when we said that if the karpif is less than base Sasayim, even if it was planted, so you can carry from the karpif to the chatzar, presumably, because that's what you have in the other area of the karpeif that was not planted. That, right, I guess that has the status of a chatzar. So you can carry from one area to the next. That's what our brisa said. And that's only the kelim sheshavsu b'sochan, that you have kelim inside of it, right? But not you can't bring, and incidentally, you can't bring kalim that were inside the house. Right, that's not something that you're allowed to do. And that's right. That's Rabbi Shmuel Shita. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, one second. I don't like that so much. The Rabbi Shimon Nami, one second. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, Kevin de Nizra Rubo, if once you have most of the carpe planted with seeds, Havehu Miuta. Right? So now you have a miut of area that is mutter and a rove of an area that is aser. So then, botele, the Gabe Rubo. So the miut is going to be mevatel. It's going to be botel. It's going to be nullified by the rove. And now, it's not that you have, let's say, an area of three base saw and one base saw, right? Or I guess two base saw and one base saw, right? We said the area that's mutter is up to two base saw, I take it back. It's not like you have two and one, it's as if you have one big entire area, and that's greater than base saw, than base saw sign. Because you have, if you revatel the miut, the area which is mutter, so then you treat it as one big area, and that's bigger than base saw, and it's not a problem. So the Gemara says, rather, no, this must have been a statement, hamiuta shari, that the miut, right, if you have the lesser, meaning if the smaller area is the one that's been nizra, if the miut has been planted, so then it's mutter to carry inside of it. And that's only if it's up until base sosayim. If it's more than base sosayim, again, if the miut, if the smaller minority is planted, so that is only if it's up to base sosayim. But if the minority is a base sosayim or more in and of itself, so then again, you have a karpif inside of a, let's say, rishus hayachid, and that's going to mess up the Eruv, even if there are mechitos, and that's going to be Aser. So the Gemara says, come on, who's that like? That's like the Rabbanan. That's like the Rabbanan who argued on Rabbi Shimon, who said it's Aser to carry from one Rishus HaYachad, let's say a Chatzer, into a Karpef. You cannot combine the two, and that's what exactly what we're saying here, that even if you have a Karpef that's a base society, you're not allowed to carry from one to the other. From Yirmi Midifti, Masnei the Kula. Rabbi Yirmi Midifti says, no, it's not according to the Rabbanan. It's being meiko, like Rabbi Shimon, right? The hamiyuta shari, that the miyut, again, the miyut is mutter. Amar Rav Huna, Breit Rav Yeshua, lo amar nala beis asayim, avu yosar beis asayim. Asar, come on, who's that like? That's like Rabbi Shimon, right? Who says it's mutter to carry from a karpef into a, whatever, a chatzar or a shusiyach or whatever it is. So as long as you have the stuff that's nizra, the planted area, less than a beis asayim, meaning it's less than the shear of a karpef, so then it's going to be mutter for you to carry from the karpiv into the adjacent chutzer that's not been planted. Fine. But again, this is the halacha that we see right here, that a karpiv that's more than base sosayim will mess up any, even if any area, even if it has walls around it, right? Certainly if it has an eruv, a karpiv will mess things up, and that's where you have real serious shailas, and that's where you call in the experts. In terms of areas that are not hukaf ladira, if it's bigger than 5,000 square amos, so then you really do run into an issue in terms of eruvim. And that's very often where you hear, like, the eruv stops here. So that's very often, not always, right? It could be a highway, it could be something else, but whenever you're like, oh, the eruv stops here, it's very often because you ran into a karpef and you couldn't work out the halachic details. Okay. Not a rubo hareo kechotzer remote, right? Again, Bryce had said, if you planted most of the karpef, so then it is... you planted with trees, and then it's like a chater, and then it is mutter, right? Because people walk in and out, and you're not mavatel the hukaf ladira status. We're not mavatel the idea that it was originally used for dira, for dwelling. Amar Yehuda Amar Avimi, v'husha suyin is tablos. That's only if the trees were planted in rows, so that it's easy to get, move through an orchard, right? You go through an orchard, you go apple picking, very easy to move up and down the rows, right? That's so people can get there. For Rav Nachman Amar, Afal Pi She'ein Osin is tablos. Even if the trees were planted haphazardly, they're not in proper rows, so it's still going to be mutter. So Mar Yehuda, Iklo Lebeit Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. Right, usually you have Rav Yehuda. So here, Mar Yehuda went to the house of Rav Huna Mar Yehuda. Chazin ulanu lo avidi tablos. He saw these fields that the trees were planted haphazardly. When people were carrying inside the orchards. So Amar Leilu, Sarva Lelamah, Lahada Avimi. Wait, what? He said you don't hold the Vavim. He says it's usher if it's haphazard. So I'm like, no, on a Rav Nachman's Sfirla. No, we hold like Rav Nachman that says it is mutter. Okay. Now, let's say you had a karpif that originally was not hukaf ledira, meaning you had a big open area that has walls around it, but it's not used for residence, and it is therefore usher, but you want to make it mutter, right? You want to turn it into something that is hukaf ledira. So what do? Right? You have walls all around it, right? Again, hukaf is the language of, you have walls, it's surrounded by walls, so what do you do? What do you do to these walls? Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Shmuel, karpef yotzim beis asayim shelo hukaf ledira. Let's say again, you have it's a karpef that's problematic. It's A, bigger than beis asayim, and it's also lo hukaf ledira. So ketzad hu osa. What do you do in plot? Meaning, what do you do to make it mutter? What do you do to make it usable on Shabbos? The Gemara says, paritz bo pirtza yotzim me'aser. You break one of the walls you bust it down, the more than 10 tefachim, again, because that's already going to be mevatel the mechitza. That's the size of a pirtza that it will mess up a mechitza. The godro umamido al eser. Then you rebuild it. That bigger than the area that is bigger than ten amos umoter, and then it's fine. Okay, so break a wall to the point where it's halachically no good, and then rebuild it. And then you're fine again. Then it was built adaite de hukaf lekarka. It was built with the intent that people should be there. Ibailahu, one second, I'll ask you a question. Poratz. Ama v'gidr ama. Parat ama v'gidra. Ashe shlimu yoser me'eser. What happens if you keep on filling in? So you break out down the wall and you have a space that's, say, 12 amos long. Great, fabulous. Now it's no longer a mechitza. How do you build that mechitza? Right, this is not Tetris, right? You don't drop a block in the space and all of a sudden magically fill up the entire space. You have to build it slowly. So, right, how does it work? Says the Gemara, let's say you build one amma, and then another amma, and then another amma, and then you close off the wall. Well, does that work? Right? Is that fine? I mean, do you need to make it built at one time, or can you kind of build it as you go? Because again, if once, what's it called? Okay, sorry, I really misstated the question. I apologize. Now, the pshat is like this. I mean, let's say you don't take Ibarlehu. They ask the following question. Let's go back a little bit. Ibarlehu, paritz ama v'gader ama paritz ama v'gader. What's the case over here? The case is here. You didn't break down 10 amos at a time, right? You broke one ama and you fixed it. You broke one ama and you fixed it until you broke 10 amos and then refixed it. So, questions like this. At no point in time was the wall completely broken by 10 amos entirely. But if you ignore all the new section of wall, right, the old wall is now missing 10 amos. You have new wall that's, 12 amos, whatever the space is. But at no point was the wall itself actually missing more than 10 amos. So do we disregard the new wall and say that, look, the old wall is missing more than 10 amos, and that's fine? Or do we say, no, you needed to have broken 10 amos at a single time and then fixed it? So the Gemara says, Amalei, so they said back to them, the Beis Medrash, Lav Hainu D'Tan. This is what we learned in the Mishnah. Kol Kli Bali Batin, right? Shiron Kerimonin, right? Again, the concept we saw a lot in Hilchos Shabbos, and Mesechus Shabbos. A Kli that belongs to the homeowners, what is a point in which when the Kli loses its status as a kli and therefore loses its ability to be makabel tuma? That's when kerimonim, when you have a size of a hole, when you have a hole that's the size of a rimon in the kli. So if you have a bucket and there's a big fat hole in the bottom and a rimon could fit through it, so then it's no longer a kli, it's no longer a makabel tuma. Uboy Chizkiah, and Chizkiah wanted to know the following question. Nikiv kamotzi zayis v'stamo. Let's say, again, similar to our case, you had a hole that was the size of a zayis in this barrel, the bucket, or whatever, and then you plugged it. Then you had another hole, and you plugged it. And you had another hole, and you plugged it. Until the hole itself, the entirety of the hole, which is plugged, is the size of a rimon. But at no point did you actually have a hole in the bucket the size of a rimon, because you plugged it every single time. So Gemara says, "Ache shlimo lemotzi rimon ma'o." What's the din? Right? Again, you have a hole that is plugged, but at no point was there a single size as big as a rimon. Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe Shnisa Lanu, Rebbe taught us the following, that's similar to this. right? Not right again. We're getting two steps removed, but Rebbe said it's like this, right? It's like this. Sandal shenifzika achas me osnav. Again, we had this Gemara as well in Mesechta Shabbos. A sandal that what's it called? That if you lose one of the straps, right, it breaks off. Vitikna, and you fixed it. Tamei midras. It's still tamei midras. Well, that is code phrase four. Is that it's still its original kli, meaning the tuma of the midras. Let's say is right. Tumas midras is that if there's a zav, for example, steps on something, puts pressure on something. So usually tuma goes one step below, right? If an avatuma touches something, that becomes a rishon. But tumas midras is different, that it goes in the same level. So that if a zov steps on a sandal, that's a good sandal, that's a legitimate kli, so then it's also going to be an avatuma. It's not going to go down one level. So either way, so if you have a sandal that is missing one strap, and you fix it, so it's still considered tumas midras. Nifska shnia, if the second one broke, Vitikna, and then you fixed it. Then already tar min amidras, aval tamei maga midras. Then it's tar min amidras, which is code phrase four. It is no longer considered its original kli. Right? It's a new kli. We don't view as if the strap that you fixed is there. Rather, we view as if both of them are broken. So it loses its original status of midras, but it is going to be tamei maga midras. It's going to be as if it touched a tumas midras, and that's again it's going to drop it to a rishon l'tumah. So the amra Allah, all right, and we said about this brisa, ma'ishna rishona da kaima shnia nami kaima. Right, what's the difference? Right, why? The first one you fixed. So Gemara says rishona kaima rishona of amras banala. Sorry, let's read that a little better. We said about this right. Va'amras Allah ma'ishna rishona da kaima shnia and shnia ma'ha nami kaima rishona. Right, what was different about the first time it broke, and the second time it broke? Right, the first time it broke, you still had the second one there, so when you fixed the first strap, right, there was only one strap broken. Same thing with the second one. When the second strap broke, and you had already fixed the first one, so you still had a strap on the sandal. Why should it be a different result? You said it back to us, panim chadashos ba'alakan, that there was a new, panim chadashos, right, the phrase you have from Shem Brachos, but there was a new status. Meaning there was a new status when both of them broke, even though you fixed the first one, the kli was a new kli, and therefore there was no more original tuma. So achanami parim chadashos ba'olakan. So too over here, by the case of the kli, which was, you know, you lost the kazayis and you fixed it, you lost the kazayis and you fixed it, you lost the kazayis and you fixed it, so it loses its status, you combine all those spaces, and it loses the status of the kli, even though you kept on fixing it, and there was no point in which it was tumei the size of a rima. So therefore, over here, by the case of the chater as well, when you broke the wall and fixed it, we view the entire space as one big open area, even though there was at no point was the wall open by more than 10 amos, but we combine all of these single amas that you broke and fixed into one big area, and therefore it is going to be good enough to make it into a carpe shiruka fladira. You can change the status of the carpe now because now you built the wall and turned it into a residential area. So kare lace din bar inish. So they said, Chizkiya said, "Man, you're not alive, man. You're not no mere mortal. You're not alive. You're not a person. That's an unbelievable teretz." So Dane Barnash. Oh, he said, "Oh, you're a great person." Okay, either way. But either way, Chizkiya was very impressed with Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says like this: Rachva shachori abatim. Let's say you have a backyard, there is no door to that backyard. I mean, it's just an area that usually commonly found, let's say, in apartment buildings. Maybe there's no back. There's a backyard, but nobody uses it. Nobody can get there. So imetaltzelin bo ella abramos, right? It's also to carry within it. Rav Nachman, says, in pasuk lo pesach moti lo taltel basocho. If you made an entrance right into this backyard, let's say from the house or whatever, from one of the houses that comes into it, so then it's motor to carry in all of it. Again, because it's for the people who are living in the house. That's hukaf adira. That's for That's for living. Pesach and the Pesach Matiro, because the opening allows it to be carried in. Lo Amran Elisha Pasach Lufsov Hukaf, and that's only if you put the opening, right? You opened the, you made a Pesach in the house, and then you put the walls around the Chatzer. Ava Hukaf Lufsov Pasach, no, but like we just saw before, if the walls were there and it wasn't Hukaf the Dira, right? Just putting a door in the house does not change the status. You have to do something to the walls, you have to break it down, etc. So Gemara says, Pasach Lufsov Hukaf Pshita. Well, obviously, if you made a door to your house, and then you made walls around the chutzner, so obviously it's mutter, right? That's your chutzner, that's your back area, that's your backyard. So Gemara says, Latsuchat is beidari. No, that's only when on the other side there is beidari, is like a silo or like a storehouse. So my tema, I did the beidari after. You might have thought that you made the Pesach from your house in order to go to the beidari, to the storehouse, and not to the backyard. Therefore, you say that no, that's fine for the backyard as well. Okay, let's say there's a karpev with water. Karpev, you also have a base of sayim, shukaf ladira. You have a karpev that's bigger than base of sayim, which is shukaf ladira, so it's good, right? It's used for residential purposes and it's good, you're allowed to carry within it. But in ismali mayim, let's say it floods. So, savarav rabbanan lameimar kizraim dami. The chachamim thought it's originally, it should be like the status of zraim. You planted seeds there. And if you remember, the osir, that's osir, that makes the karpef no good anymore. So, I'm going to rav abba achua de rav bre de rav misharsha. Hach yamrin mishmi de ravas, so it's in the name of rava, mayim kinitayim damu vishari. Water, that when it floods, so it's like, no, it's not like planting seeds, it's like planting trees, right? And therefore, it is mutter. So Amar Meimar says, that's only if the water is fit for use. Rashi says, l'shtia, if I'm not mistaken, the Rishonim argue on him, and it could be even for kvisa, for washing, or for other uses. That's only, again, however you define use, Meimar says, that's only if you can use the water. Right? But if it's really disgusting water, I don't know, sewage water or whatever, so then it is usser. You can't tell me that that's Mukaf Ladira, right? People are not going to go into it, it's disgusting, etc. Amar Rav Ashi, and this is the issue about, let's say, a lake in the middle of an Eruv, right? A lake turns into a karpef, right? The Chazin of the Shmishanami, even if the water is fit for use, so lo Amran Elish Ein Ba'omko Yosem Rebesa Sayim. That's only if the deep part is not more than Besa Sayim. Rashi says the deep part is Ten Tvachim. Right? If you don't have a if it's not 10 tefachim deep for more than 5,000 by 5,000 amos, that's going to be a problem. Meaning if it's 10 tefachim deep for more than 5,000 amos by 5,000 amos by Beis HaSayim, that is going to be usher, that's going to be a problem. And then the Gemara says, Valav Milsi, that's actually not true, because Midi Dehava Akaria Depere, it's just like you piled produce or fruit or whatever, grain, in the area. Water is just like fruit or grain or whatever, which would not nullify the area. So therefore, it's not actually true, and it would be fine. Okay. Okay, now this, if you have a picture or a picture book, this is very, very, this will be very helpful. If you don't, maybe pause the shiur and go online and get one, because I'm not sure I can explain this properly without a picture, but if you are holding a picture so that this would help tremendously. Okay, so either way. Ha'u Rechava Dehavi Befumnara. The Fumnara is a city. There was a Rechava. This was a backyard or a back area, a lot. Dechad Gizahava Psiach Lamasa. One side of it was open to a Mavui. Okay, literally Psiach Lamasa means open to the neighborhood. But really here, if you'll see, when Rashi explains it, and the picture definitely helps as well, one side of it leads, one exit of this backyard leads to a Mavui, and then the Mavui goes into town, into Shusar Abin. V'chad Gisa have a Psiach L'Shvil Shel Kramim. The other side opens into a vineyard. And the edge of the vineyard, then, beyond the vineyard, is a river. Right? And the river, as we said before, it has a ten tefachim, that's considered to be a wall of ten tefachim. It's considered as if it's closed off. Okay. So now, what's the deal? The case is that it was not hukaf adira, and then they wanted to make it hukaf adira. And they didn't want to break the walls. So how do you matir this area? Amar Abai says Hechinavid, what do? Lavi le mechitza gudu dinara. Put a wall, or a mechitza, by the riverbank. Right? Ein osin, because, meaning, ein osin mechitza agave mechitza, because you can't put a mechitza on top of a mechitza. Right? What's it called? Because, meaning that doesn't work. Right, that doesn't help because you can't make a mechitza on the mechitza because the river is already a mechitza. Right, but if you put a tzuras haPesach by the edge of the vineyard, that doesn't work either because asu gam leshaydin le, because now you have camels going to drink, will run through the tzuras haPesach, and that will be a problem. Right, now, right, it's the same thing as Gideon Bokenbo, except camels are much bigger, and that will mess up the tzuras haPesach. So Rabbi said, so put a lechi on the exit of the lot that leads to the vineyard. Because just like it, the lechi works for the vineyard. Again, the if you have a road, it's like a little bit of a road leading through the vineyard that's stops by the river. So you really have three sides of wall on this mavoi that leads through the vineyard towards the river, because you have the river and then the two sides, two walls on either side. So put a lechi at the edge of this mavoi that leads through the vineyard into the river, because that will close that off. And just like it closes that off, that will also help close off the rechava, the back lot. So Amalei Rava says Yomru lechi moel the shvil shel kramim da'alma. If that's true, so then people will say that a lechi works for a mavoi that goes through a vineyard, or a road really that goes through a vineyard, without the river. Meaning the only reason a lechi on one side would work is because you have the river at the end of it, which acts as a tzuras haPesach, or acts as a mechitza. But if you just had a regular shvil, a regular road, a mavoi that was open, a mufulash, it was open on both sides, so then you can't just put a lechi there and allow people to carry in it. So Rava says, Avdinan le lechi lepischa demasa. So Rava says, no. You put a lechi on the exit of the rechava that leads to the mavoi towards the town. Demigu demahani le lechi lemasa, hamahani nami le rechava. Right? Because just like the lechi works for the mavoi that leads towards the town, right, it also will work to close off the rechava. So Rava says, Hilchak, therefore, tiltuli masa gufa shari. Right? So therefore, carrying within the mavoi that leads to the town is mutter. Totuli berachava gufashari, carrying inside the lot is mutter. But mi masa the rechava, rechava the masa. But from the mavoi that leads to the town and to the lot and back. So pligi berachava ravina. That's a machlokas. Chad aser b'chad shari. One of them says mutter. One of them says aser. Ma de shari ha dahalek de urin. One of them says it's mutter because there's nobody living in the lot. And then again, that's just two chatzeros that are closed off, right? It's an eruv, and it's totally fine. But my da'aser is in the da'avi be'diurin ve'asir l'taltalei, because no, maybe sometimes there will be diurin, there will be people who go to live there, and that will change everything. Why does that change everything? Because there is no eruv that joins the two chatzeros, meaning once you have a chatzer that is privately owned, and a mavoi, so now you need a shtufa mavoz, or an eruv chatzeros, to join the lot and the mavoi. If there's nobody living there, so then it's just two chatzeros or whatever, two reshusa yachids, and you don't necessarily, it's not private property. So it's not, private property is something that is owned privately, like a chatzer or whatever, that needs to be combined. But if it's not owned by anybody, that doesn't have diurim, so that doesn't, then you don't need to make an eruv there. But if now you have people there, again, the one who would asr carry from the big lot into the mavoi that leads to the town is because if people come, right, that would change the halacha, and they require some sort of eruv, so that's, he's concerned about that. So therefore, it's also to carry from one to the next. Okay, a little bit of a tough ride at the end there, but Baruch Hashem, I hope I said it over okay. Okay, Metz Hashem, we'll go right to the Halakha Shas tomorrow. Okay, we'll both say have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.